Hello, Dan.
Hello, Angela.
Hi, we're back. It's our fucking, third podcast of the year, and it's July.
Yeah, we're slacking.
We're great at this once every week.
We just want people to miss us.
It's true. It's the law of scarcity. If you talk to any pickup artist or any men's rights advocate or activist...
I'm proud to say that I don't even know.
If you talk to any incel or neckbeard, they will tell you that if you feign disinterest, it creates more interest in you.
Thanks, so, Kyle.
Yeah, thank you, Chad and Todd. What? That's exactly what we're doing with our podcast. So welcome back. We impromptu decided to do a flower confessional. And it's actually interesting. I don't know if you've had this happen. We may have talked about this the last time we did a podcast, but I've had a couple people be like, hey, so, like, when are there going to be new episodes? And I'm like, nobody fucking cares. We do this for us, and people listen to it, so.
I know my friend Tommy G's listening.
Yeah, I did not expect that at all. So, apparently we're saying some deep shit that people give a crap about, and I am excited as fuck, my friend.
Tom and I were at a juggling festival together last week, and he actually asked me about the X-Pill.
No way, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the X-Pill has translated essentially to me to everything involving, like, any kind of subconscious archetype, because that's all it is, it's an archetype. So as I explore more spiritually with ritualism... Literally, all of that shit is basically the X-Pill. It's all basically an archetype. So if you do any kind of hypnosis, they always associate like a color or a thing. Mm-hmm. Like every time you see the color red, you want to go work out or whatever. And so you're retraining your brain, and that's literally what the X-Pill is. It's our brains are so complicated, and then yet it seems like they're so simple. It's like the subconscious mind... speaks in symbols and pictures and makes associations. So if you're eating ramen noodles and someone comes into the restaurant and like shoots up the place, you're going to associate ramen noodles with like mass violence.
Right.
That's just how our brains work. It's really fucked up. But if you learn to harness that, you can unlearn stuff that is not good for you and you can relearn stuff that is good for you. Fuck. I wish I had known that like 10 years ago.
Or stuff like how the... same brain that, like, launches a rocket into outer space is affected by one person not thinking they're cool.
Yeah. Or how the entire Minneapolis police force is just a bunch of bullies that grew up and... I'm just kidding. I'm totally...
They came from Burnsville.
They came from Burnsville. They played D&D. I'm totally cutting that out. That's not cool. Whoops. Maybe I won't. Okay, so again, we're doing the fucking podcast, and like, construction's outside, car alarm's going off, birds
welcome
are chirping.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Exactly. Welcome to Dan and Angela's neighborhood. So, we've both got like 25 minutes, something like that, which is about the length of time that car horn is going to be going off. Oh, it magically shut itself off. Holy shit.
Wow.
Not in Whittier, not in this neighborhood. But, yeah, we were just sitting at the table talking, and I looked over at my laptop, and I was like, fuck it. This is how we need to be doing confessionals, and we need to just do one right now. So we didn't know exactly what we were going to be talking about, but I guess, yeah, let's just do, like, a really quick recap of the last week since we haven't – it'll take us an hour and a half to recap the last 3 months or whatever since the last time we did a podcast. Yeah, tell me about the last week of your life because – you had some stuff happen that was kind of exciting.
Last week, I was at a juggling festival in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I got to meet some cool new people, and I got to hang out with some old friends. I didn't really work on juggling the whole time, which is kind of cool, because I'm not technically a juggler. My wife is a very good juggler, so I've learned from her, but I'm working on certain things I want to learn.
So you're more of a juggalo.
More
than
of
a juggler.
For sure.
Okay, good.
Also, ICP followed me the other day, so there was that. I think I messaged you.
You did message me.
So I am a juggalo.
That's weird. Why?
I only wear the paint under my shirt, though, instead of on my face.
That's right. So. You're not fully out yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was LGBT Pride Month. It wasn't...
Yeah, it wasn't juggalo Pride
Month. It wasn't Juggalo Pride Month. That's in... I feel like, what month would be perfect for Juggalo Pride Month? Would that be October?
Because yeah, because a little bit spooky.
It's kind of spooky, yeah. So, so you got followed by ICP, which should really usurp any updates that you have about your life.
Yeah, honestly, that was like a...
I think if you meet a new person, you should be like, hi, Dan Nothi, so nice to meet you. ICP follows me on Instagram.
Next networking event I go to.
Yeah. Oh, I sell cards or whatever.
Yeah.
But ICP follows me on Instagram. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
What if you end up finding out that, like, one of the dudes, like, flips cards? What if you become really good friends with somebody from ICP?
That would be interesting. I don't know if that'd be a good friend or not.
I don't know.
I don't know what they're like.
Yeah. I mean, but wouldn't you feel kind of shitty for all the trash we've talked about ICP?
Yeah. The documented trash, too.
Oh, dude, I've talked some shit about some celebrities and then met them and they were really nice.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, maybe they're...
Sorry, ICP, just in case.
Yeah, sorry, ICP, we love you.
But also not sorry if you guys are dickheads.
Thanks, Dan. That, I think, covers all the bases.
Cool.
I'm glad that you said that because either way you win.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. So the last week of my life, what's been happening? Oh, the reason that we got to make this quick is that I'm doing like a life coaching, career coaching session today with a woman named Kelly Deals, who she's really aware. She's a feminist marketing strategy coach, and she's got a lot of information out there. And what I like about her is that she really calls out like woke washing. She calls it feminist targeted marketing or something like that. But she's basically talking about how branding yourself as a feminist now, that's like people do that in very racist, classist, sizist ways, and that it's just another way to make money. Like,
yeah, explain that a little bit more. Like, give an example.
Like, Dove has this, like, Love Your Body campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Dove has been telling women for the last 100 years that they're not skinny enough, not white enough, not pretty enough. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait, women don't like being told they're ugly anymore. So we'll get a couple of women that are like different sizes and different races, and we'll have them in our ads and we'll tell them to love their bodies and we'll rebrand ourselves as a feminist company.
Sure.
And you're seeing that happen a lot.
So like the Gillette Me Too.
I was just going to say the Gillette thing. And again, like she discusses how sometimes it has positive impacts, but how it's fake and how it's appropriating an actual movement for the purpose of profit. So I'm going to be talking to her about my business, about makeup artistry, and about the reasons I do makeup and trying to figure out how to maybe branch off from that. So I'm super stoked about that. Another thing, I guess it hasn't happened yet, but I'm going to go to Arc Value Village today. I'm thrifting. And I kind of have like the flipping bug. I'm going to try it and see what I think of it. And you went thrifting with your mom yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about that.
Mom and I went out for breakfast, and then we went thrifting. We went to a Goodwill. We went to a Savers. We were going to go to Arc. We ran out of time. We're going to do it again soon. We found some sweet mugs, t-shirts.
Yeah, tell me about what you found.
So I found... Like, I was kind of, since I do the sports card stuff, I was kind of looking for things that were geared towards sports that I could potentially sell to those same buyers. So I found, like, some really cool old, like, championship mugs of teams and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I also found a sweet Pink Floyd shirt that I might just keep for myself. And then some random other things. Like, I found, like, a SeaWorld mug, because there's people that are, like, crazy and collect everything. Especially in, like, the Disney and theme park world.
Totally true. Yeah.
There's got to be someone out there that needs that light up killer whale mug in their life, and I don't need it.
Right. But. Yeah. So obviously, you have, as basically as long as I've known you, you've sold sports cards. And I never really knew exactly what you were doing, but as I hear you on other podcasts and stuff, I'm getting a little bit better understanding of what you do and how you do it. And it was interesting because I would never have followed Gary Vee without you. And I follow him now. And he was talking about garage sailing. And the first time you told me about that, I was like, haha, that's kind of funny. But then I watched a video of him doing it last week. And I was like, holy shit, I do that anyway. Like,
yeah.
I literally do that anyway. This entire house, if you come to our house, I think most of the common areas, this is pretty much, most of this is my interior decorating. I think that Sophia has some stuff up here. But you can tell it's all, like, antique-y stuff. It's all vintage. And I love going to thrift stores, and I love antiquing. And I love deals and all that kind of stuff. And he was talking, he was not only garage sailing, but it was like one of the other videos or like little Instagram posts that he had sort of bookended to that was somebody asked him how they can kind of make quick money or easy money.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how, number one, there's no such thing, but if you do have a little chunk of money and you want to expand it quickly, you go to a big box store, you go to their clearance end caps, scan those products and see what they're going for on eBay, and turn a profit with those. And I was like, oh my God, I've totally done that before.
Yeah.
Do you remember those? Maybe you don't because this is sort of a beauty industry thing, but there's a phone case that's actually a ring light. So
okay.
It's got a light around it and you can backlight it, you can front light it. But they go for about $80 and I was just poking around the Target electronics area and they had them on clearance for like $17. So I bought four of them and I flipped three of them and I didn't realize I was flipping at the time. I was just like, oh, these are worth a lot of money and they're on clearance. So I'm just going to buy them.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, duh, like I fucking do this anyway. Like this is where I get my stuff. And then while I was watching them, I'm watching Gary Vee, who is obviously like a multimillionaire. He's a very like cis hetero male. And he's like bragging. He's like, I got this Shopkins thing. And I'm just thinking about your little girl and like Shopkins stuff. And I'm just thinking about he was so stoked that he got this Shopkins thing for like 50 cents. And then he flipped it for like $5 or something.
Yeah.
There's a couple things. So number one, he does it because he really likes to do it, which I really like to do it. I know you really like to do it. So it's like I feel like the key to something being entrepreneurial and profitable is you do it because you like it and then the money comes later. I think we've talked about that before. And that's really interesting to me because I think we were raised in a generation that was like, no, you work hard, you work hard, you work hard, and that makes success. And I have watched so many people our age work their asses off towards something that they didn't really want to do and they ate shit at it. Or they reached a certain level of success with it and they fucking hate their lives and they're miserable and they always talk about wanting to do something and they don't do it. And that's not to say that anybody's better or worse than anybody. It's just a different path. But
it all does go back to like, it does seem like no matter what, those people want to find their passion.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. Well, and I didn't even know the origin story of how you started doing cards until I heard you on that podcast. What was the name of the podcast again? Back Pocket?
Back Pocket Podcast.
Okay, so that was, first of all, super entertaining and cute. Those guys are adorable, and you did a really good job.
Thanks.
Yeah, but I didn't know the whole story behind, you know, your grandma had bought you some cards and, you know, she got into them so she could kind of bond with you about it. And then you had them in a binder, forgot about them. And then your mom called and said, hey, clean out your room or whatever. And you found this really valuable card and flipped it. And that was the beginning. And so it was like, yeah, when you were a little kid, you weren't thinking like I'm planting a seed. You weren't thinking this is going to be worth a lot of money. You were just doing it because it was fun. And then because it was fun, it came naturally to you. And that's how makeup artistry came to me for sure. It definitely over time developed more meaning. It's it's become way less about the makeup and so much more about connection and empowerment with women and stuff. But I just thought that was fascinating because, yeah, you watch this multimillionaire and he's at fucking garage sales. And you're like, I think a lot of people are going, what the fuck are you doing? And it's like, well, he likes it.
Yeah, there's probably so many people that are like, you could be doing like a 2-hour keynote right now instead.
Right. And we all do stuff that wastes time and wastes money and nobody says anything. Like if you were to go to a bar right now, maybe not right now because it's 10 in the morning. That would make people concerned. But if you just went to a bar and you spent like, I don't know, $50 on drinks, like people would be like, oh, okay, well, like that's normal or that's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But to be a person who already has money and like go out and like to hunt for stuff and like to flip it, people are like, oh, that's such a fucking waste of time. Like it's really weird.
So
one thing that I thought was interesting is one of his assistants or one of his dude bros that it was with him. And I should say I really like Gary Vee, but I think some of his terms and the way he talks are like so douchey. I'm like, oh my God, you're trying to sound like a 22-year-old. But anyway, he's a cool guy and he's just kind of a, I just, sometimes I'm like, you're such a dork. But anyway, so his friend fucking D-Rock or whatever is in the passenger seat of the car and he's like, look what he got. I walked right past it and it was a Starbucks cup. And I knew this from, I don't know, a couple years ago, but Starbucks cups are super valuable.
So weird.
People collect them. I don't understand. But yeah, he bought this cup for like a quarter or 50 cents and it's worth like $25. So it's definitely going to make me look at stuff in a different way. But like a week or two ago, I was with my friend Leif and he's like an eBay flipper of antiques and tchotchkes and stuff. And he was helping me with stuff. So Amanda and I are going to go out today and I'm going to be, of course, looking at stuff for myself, but I'm also going to be looking at stuff with fresh eyes and see what I come back with or what I find. Second to last time I went thrifting, I should say thank you, Dan, for doing this so soon after getting appendicitis. But I was there with my sister, and there was this 3-piece French set. It's a desk and an armoire and like a bookshelf. And I got the entire set for $8, and it's in beautiful condition. And Dan and my friend Jennifer helped schlep it up the stairs. And by helped, I mean you both did it while I watched and held the door open. So I appreciate you.
I just wanted to show off my muscles.
I know. I know you did. That's the best part of that whole interaction, besides getting the stuff, of course, was when I said, Dan, can you come down and help? And you came outside and you said, this is all I'm good for. I was like, wow. I don't say the word goals very often, but I was just like, oh, the man I love will one day say that. All I'm good for is lifting stuff and opening jars and taking out trash.
I'm just like paving the way for him to appear so that when he starts hanging around here, he's like, mm-hmm. You're like, you see my friend Dan? Like how he's like reaching the high stuff, lifting the heavy stuff, taking the trash out or whatever. Like that's...
Yeah, loosening that pickle jar.
That's where you need to get in the night. Just like...
Right. Hey, yep. It's the...
Treat my friend well, man.
Yeah. Trash. Yeah, it's the whole idea of... I can hear the fucking fans getting loud on this MacBook Air, so I'm sorry about the sound quality again. But anyway, I think the next podcast we have, I'm going to force Dan to download Audacity or GarageBand on his laptop because this is like so dumb. But anyway, Dan and I have curated a concept called Fuckboy Reform School.
Oh, yeah.
And Fuckboy Reform School is a 2-day workshop that Dan and I host. And Dan is basically like the co-host / keynote speaker. Part of Fuckboy Reform School is being taught single-handedly by Dan how to not be a fuckboy. And so I think some of these skills, lifting stuff, taking out trash, loosening jars.
Listening,
reaching for things.
Put down the Xbox controller for 5 seconds. There's a pause function.
Yep, exactly. So maybe that should be what our next episode's about, because this is stupid loud. But yeah, we just wanted to pop in and
we're still alive.
We're still alive. Our flipping adventures are going to commence. And I have to turn this off because the sound's driving me nuts. But you can follow us at The Flower Confessional on Instagram, all one word. You can follow Dan at Dan Noethe, N-O-E-T-H-E. You can follow me at Angela Morris Makeup, all one word. And I think we have a Facebook page that has nothing on it. You can follow that too. I'm sure it's really exciting. I'm not even on Facebook.
Post on our wall.
Yes, post on our wall. All right, we'll be back hopefully sometime soon. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week, everybody.